and looking, of course, I always look forward to Christmas. It seems like it takes a long time to get here, and well, it used to take a long time to get here. Now that I'm getting a little older, it comes in a hurry, but I'm excited for today. Like I said this morning when I first stood up before Sunday school, let's take this time and really think about what's been given to us. We'll go to families probably in a little bit, or definitely tomorrow, the next day, and we'll be given gifts, and we'll some of them will be our prized possession for just a little bit. I remember when I was a kid, I'd get a brand new gift. It'd be the best thing in the world for about a few days, and then it would go by the wayside, and I wouldn't play with it anymore. But the gift that was given to us through the birth of Jesus Christ is a gift that lasts forever. Amen. Most important gift we've ever had, most important gift we ever will get. If you're here this morning, I pray you have that gift. If you hadn't, you can. So I just invite you to take this time and worship the Lord in spirit and truth and have a good time in Him. And I'm excited about our church and what God's going to do here. I'm excited about our new youth director, and I thought he was going to do a great job until I saw these Christmas sweaters. If all the ones would that made their sweater, if y'all come up. Everybody come up. I told Dalton he had the best looking one when I looked in it. Somebody get a picture.
I don't take it on my phone.
There's one thing I am sure of. None of these have a future in design.
Hey.
Abby's got a full-blown tree.
I look, guys. Especially, are you saving battery?
Yeah, I'm saving battery.
Now we're going to ask them what inspired each one. No, not really. Give them all a big hand. I appreciate each one participating. I know they had a lot of fun doing that, and those will not be forgotten, that's for sure. Do we have any prayer requests this morning before we get into our service? I know there's Lee Barber texted me this morning, is in the hospital with some heart issues. Y'all remember her and pray for her. She's got something going on with her heart. Not sure what it is yet. But she gave me a room number and all, if anybody gets a chance to go visit her. I'm probably not going to go today because I don't want to give her whatever I've got. But y'all be much in prayer for her. Do we have any others?
Got a new grandbaby coming the 28th. Maggie has to have C-sections because this will be the third, but anyway, the 28th, she's going in that morning around 5:30, I think.
Amen. I know the feeling. Any others?
Abidale.
Yes. Abidale fell and broke her arm right below her shoulder. I talked to her the other night on the phone, and she had come home from the hospital and was hurting. She said the doctor said she could double up on her pain medicine, so she guessed that was good. But she said she's going to be okay, and just for everybody to pray for her, and that was meant the most of anything. So. Y'all just remember her. She fell, I think it was on the same day that she fell last year and broke her spine, almost a year to the day exactly. And the doctors didn't think she'd ever come back from that. She showed them. She was in good health as she'd been in a long time. So y'all continue to remember her. She's a fighter. Any others? I know there's many unspoken, many different things people's got on their heart. Continue to remember those families who's lost loved ones this time of year, and even in the past, that this makes it hard. Come around Christmas time, a lot of people battle depression, a lot of things that give us hard times, what comes along with this time of year. But also, let's take time to realize the joy that comes this time of year, not just the presents that we get, but our best gift, which is the Lord Jesus. No other prayer requests. We'll go to the Lord in prayer, then we'll have our Advent reading, then in our singing. Heavenly Father, we come to you again today. Thank you for this day you've made. Lord, I thank you for each soul you had come out today. And Father, I pray we've come for no other reason than to worship your name, in spirit and in truth. And God, I pray today that we understand the gift that was given to us some 2,000 years ago. We was given a Savior, something we didn't deserve, but God, your love and mercy, you saw fit to send him for us. And Lord, I pray today that every soul in this building knows him and the free pardon of sin. Father, I pray if they don't, they can before they leave this place. I thank you, you're still saving people. You're still in the saving business. You hadn't went out. Over 2,000 years you've been saving, you still continue. And Lord, we thank you for that. And Lord, we ask you to give us a great service this morning. Most of all, we ask your Spirit to be in our midst. And Lord, in prayer requests that's been made known, the ones that was mentioned and maybe the ones that wasn't, just a silent prayer request. Lord, each one has on their hearts. I ask that you work in each situation. God, as only you can. Father, I pray you comfort those that's lost loved ones, comfort the ones whose loved ones have went on years past, and the hurt's still there. God, I pray that you give them a comfort that only you can. The comfort we have is knowing that one day we'll see them again. And thank you for everything you've done for us. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.
Please stand and join us in our call to worship.
You are holy.
You are holy.
You are mighty.
You are worthy.
You are worthy.
Worthy of praise.
Worthy of praise.
I will follow.
I will follow.
I will listen.
I will listen.
I will love you.
I
Of his love,
in wonders of his
the fourth, the fifth, the minor fall, the major lift. With every breath I'm singing hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. A couple came to Bethlehem expecting child. They searched the inn to find a place for you were coming soon. There was no room for them to stay, so in a manger filled with hay, God's only Son was born. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
The shepherds left their flocks by night to see this baby wrapped in light. A host of angels led them on to you. It was just as the angel said, you'll find him in a manger bed. Emmanuel and Savior, hallelujah,
hallelujah. Shone bright up in the east to Bethlehem. The wise men three came many miles and journeyed long for you. And to the place at which you were, their frankincense and gold and myrrh they gave to you and cried out, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Rugged cross was my cross too. Still every breath you drew was hallelujah,
hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Have to follow that with a squeaky voice. Well, that's a great music, great songs. I appreciate everyone giving their time and effort to do that. That's a great song. I enjoyed that. The gospel is preached in that one song right there. Amen. What a miracle it is that we stand today. We've heard Luke chapter 2 read for several weeks now. Seems like everything. We saw our Christmas plays and all. Luke chapter 2 is big into it. But the end part of Luke chapter 2, you never heard talked about a whole lot at Christmas time anymore, or maybe ever. But There was a man who had been waiting on something. His name was Simeon. He'd been waiting to see the Lord's salvation. And as they sang that song, I almost shouted because it's the one verse that said, "He came to rescue me." If you look up the rendering of the word salvation in the New Testament, where it's in several places, it has two different renderings. One means rescuer and one means defender. But thank God that he sent God Almighty sent his precious son to be our rescuer, to be our redeemer, to be the one who come to defend me even. And the old enemy tries to tell me all the things I'm not, but thank God that I have Jesus as a great defender. If you got your Bibles today, turn to Luke chapter number 2. Luke chapter 2, and I may have to bend down and get this water every now and then and try to make it through this. And probably going to be a little quicker than normal, and everybody ought to say amen and get excited. But Lord willing, we're going to try to make it through. Been fighting this stuff for several days and ready for it to be over. But I prayed yesterday the Lord let me have enough help to get through this, and I think it's going to happen some way. You may can barely hear me by the end of it, but we're going to do the best we can. Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse number 22. Of course, the earlier part of Luke chapter 2 begins telling us about the birth of Christ. And we pick up here in verse number 22 of Luke chapter 2 of when Jesus was 40 days old. When he was 40 days old, and then listen to what happens. It says, and when the days of purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy unto the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death, therefore he had not seen, before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit unto the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. This morning, before we pray, I want to ask you a question. Can you, today, December the 23rd of 2018, if you was to depart this earth today, could you depart in peace? Could you depart in peace? I want you to think about that as we continue this sermon. And I'm going to get a little something else before I continue. If you haven't seen the Lord's salvation, you cannot depart in peace. You can't be like Simeon. You can't depart in peace unless you have seen the salvation of the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this today. God, we thank you for the word that we've heard. God, we ask you to touch our body this morning. God, touch my voice that I may can get through this. And Lord, open hearts and minds. Help us understand truly what thy salvation is and what you've provided for us. That Christmas morning was way more than just a child. It was a Savior for all mankind. It was a Redeemer, a Defender, a Rescuer for everybody who will receive him into their heart. That God, you provided it for every man. Lord, I pray there's not a one leaves here today not having the peace of thy salvation. For it's in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. You see, if you begin looking at this, Simeon physically saw the salvation of the Lord. He saw the baby, the Lord Jesus Christ. He held him in his hands. He held him up and he said, Lord, thank you for letting me see your salvation come to earth for all mankind. But you see, in mine and your time, chances are we'll probably, with our physical eye, never get to see the Lord Jesus as a baby because he's already came. We know he won't. But spiritually speaking, we can see that salvation. We can see it. And this is going to be tough. I'm going to be squeaky. But there's three things that help us understand and to see the salvation of the Lord. There's three things. Those three things are faith, hope, and love. And we're going to begin with faith, number one. And you turn to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. It tells you what faith is. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is something that I cannot explain to you. And you can't explain to me. Faith is just hard to understand. It's looking through a telescope, if you will, seeing with a spiritual eye what the physical eye cannot see. And God has provided that thing called faith. It's by faith that he chose to save all mankind. If you're saved today, you're saved by faith. The Bible says we're saved by grace through what? Through faith. It's not of works, lest any man can boast. It is a free gift of faith. And just think what a blessing it is today that we get to come to an almighty Savior through faith. I don't have to do a single work. I don't have to dig a ditch. I don't have to ride a bicycle. I don't have to do any of those other things. I get to come to Him simply through faith. And I want you to think about your faith today, how important it is to understand what our faith is and how important our faith is. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Listen to what it tells us. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe He is, and He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. If you are to please God today, you are going to have to please God through faith. There is no other way. And you know the only way you can be pleasing to God is through His Son, Jesus Christ. Through the blood that was shed for you on that cross of Calvary is the only way you can be received by God Himself. There's no other way. There's no works that'll work. It's truly and only through the faith provided by a Savior that we can do this. Now, I want you to think about this. Faith is hard for us to understand, although we do it on a daily basis. Faith is hard for us to comprehend, although I put faith in things every day. In a few minutes, I'll go out to my car, and I won't be able to talk. Stephanie will be proud the rest of the day. But I'll go out to my car, and I'll put my key in there, and it's a Ford, so I know it's going to crank. Amen? But we have faith that that car is going to start. And we get in that car, and we head down the interstate, 70, 80 miles an hour. We have faith that those tires are going to hold air. We have faith that that thing's going to stay together, and it's not going to fall apart on the interstate, or even greater than that. We'll get an airplane, we'll fly 6 miles above the earth. Faith in a machine. Faith that it's going to take us from point A to point B. You see, we exercise our faith every single day. We exercise it. Now listen, it's hard for us to physically understand what God is talking about, how we can be saved through faith. But when you think about it, faith is really, really simple. It's the substance of things. Turn back to one if you can. The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. What is the evidence of Jesus Christ? It's faith. What is the evidence of it? Listen, we will not see Him with our physical eyes, but through faith we have this, that just as Simeon saw the Lord Jesus Christ, bless God, by faith, I too can see Him, and because of this, I can depart in peace. One day when it comes my time to leave this walks of life, I can leave here peaceably, knowing that I have a salvation, I have a rescuer, I have a defender in the Lord Jesus Christ. Through faith. You tell you, if there was nothing else today that we've been given, this faith should be enough for us to shout and proclaim on the mountaintops of how great our Lord is, because He made a way for me through faith. By faith, I can be just like Simeon. I can say, Lord, thank You, for I've seen that salvation. You see, I remember back when I saw it. And boy, I wish I had a voice. I could preach this right. But listen, I remember back that day on June 27th, 1997, on the second pew of Concord Baptist Church. It wasn't nothing special that Alton Stamey said. He showed me in the scripture where a man can be saved. It wasn't nothing special, no words he had to say. It was simply that day, my faith is what saved me. Nothing else but my faith. And if you, my friend, today are saved, guess what? It was that same faith that saved you. How great this faith is. Remember, it's a telescope by which we see with a spiritual eye what the physical eye cannot see. How amazing this thing is. And I got to move on before I can't talk at all. The second is love. Love, John chapter 3, verse 16. I want you to think about this. We've heard this preached a lot, and you hear it preached around Christmas time a lot, so we're going to preach it too. It says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Listen to 17. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Love. Can you believe that God, an all-perfect being such as God, that never made a mistake, that never will make a mistake, He loved you. He loved you in all your sorriness and all the bitterness you have towards people and all the things you have and all your faults and all your shortcomings. He loved you. He loves you so much that He sent His only begotten Son into the world, that through Him and Him only can you be saved. Can you have a rescuer? Can you have a redeemer? He sent the son that Simeon could be saved. He sent the son that Miss Pat can be saved. And all of us can be saved. That he loved us that much. And ain't you glad that love, the same love that he sent his son with, still is on the earth today. Still is, listen, we had this in Bible college. This is where this message come from. It began working in my mind. It was on a test we had about faith, love, and hope. Love is the rope that binds us to God. Love is what binds us to an almighty God. It's through his love that he loved me. The Bible says when we was yet sinners, Christ died for us. When we was yet no good for anything, the only begotten Son of God came to the earth, was born as a little precious baby celebrating today or tomorrow, the next day, or this time of year. And then he lived a perfect life. He done exactly what God told him to. And then Easter's going to roll around in a little bit. And he was crucified for something he didn't deserve. He was beat beyond all. You couldn't even recognize him, how bad he was beaten. He done all of this. Was buried and resurrected the third day for the love God had for me. Have you understood that today? Have you saw that with your physical, with your spiritual eye? Have you saw the love that God has for you? It's a rope that binds you to God. Listen to Romans chapter 8, verse 39. Nor height nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now you're talking about a rope, brother. Listen. Some of y'all in here is not just right, and I've heard you talk about rappelling off of Mount Sheol. Who in here has done that? Come up here, we're going to pray for you. Right now and in a hurry. But no, you know what you did? You had a rope that bound you to the top of that thing. It was anchored on top of that mountain, wasn't it? It was anchored. And listen, you had complete confidence in that rope. You believed with all your heart that rope would hold you, or else you wouldn't have got on it. Now, that's the same way salvation is today, my friend. That salvation is bound by the rope, but it's called love to an almighty God. And the reason that you can't be let go is because God is all-powerful. He's all in control. I had a devotion this week from Charles Spurgeon. It said that when you can drain the ocean dry, you can start to understand how God may be weak. We can't drain the ocean dry, can we? It says when you can break up all the mountains, you can start to say that God might be weak. We know we can't break up all the mountains. You see, God has everything at his disposal to keep you from dropping, from falling. That rope is bound so tight. It says, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God. Oh, my friend, what a rope. What a rope. Them ropes you rappel from, them are strong ropes, ain't they? You can probably pull two or three cars with them. We have things at work we pick up big machinery with. You can pick it up and it'll pick up a whole tractor, one little band like that. How strong it is. But it's nothing compared to that rope that binds us to an almighty God, which is through a word called love. And you get studying your scripture, you'll find out something. Now, the Bible teaches that God is love. He is a complete picture of love. God is complete love. He is the only love that ever lasts. He loves us unconditionally. Nothing we do ever makes him not love us. He loves us even when we're bad, even when we're good, even when we're ugly, even when we mean, even when we're despiteful and everything. He loves us. With that rope that binds us to Almighty God. Let me ask you this. Can anybody understand God's love? Can anybody understand the love of God? You hear me say this a lot if you're ever in our classes. I think the closest thing we can have to understanding God's love is the love we have for our children. If I was to ask you in here, how many of y'all's children have ever disappointed you, you'd have to raise your hand. If I ask you how many of your children had ever said bad things to you or done something to you that nobody else in the world had ever done, you would have to raise your hand. Because I've done some things to my parents I wouldn't do to anybody else. But you know what? They still love me. You know why? Because it's an unconditional love. It's the same way that God's love is for me, is that nothing I do makes it greater. Nothing I do makes it less. He loves me with a perfect love, with an unconditional love. And that love is so strong that it binds me that nothing that's ever been upon this world, nothing that's ever will be upon this world, is able to separate me from God's love. Think about that a minute. You are bound with a rope to God. There used to be a song people would sing at funerals. The Royal Telephone. A line that reached from here to heaven. May I tell you, you have something better than that. Something way stronger than a telephone line. You have an almighty rope binding you to an holy God called love. Listen, you are bought with a price. Why? Why can this rope not break? Why is it not possible for anything to ever separate you from God? Why is this possible? 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 tells us just a little bit. For as much as you know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver is gold from your vain conversation, that word means your walk or your earthly walk, and you're received by tradition of fathers. You're not redeemed with that stuff. Listen to 19. I didn't put that in there. But look, let me tell you what it says. It says you're redeemed with the blood of Jesus Christ. Much more valuable than gold. Much more valuable than silver. You've been redeemed with the most precious thing that the earth has ever known, and that's the blood of Jesus Christ. Nothing else can ever take the place. Because of you've been redeemed with the blood of Jesus Christ, that rope is secure, that rope is in place, and nothing you will ever do can separate you from the love of God. That'll be enough today to make us shout and to scream, knowing that nothing can separate me from God's love. Let's move on while I still got a voice. Next, we come to hope. Boy, this is something that we all need. How many of y'all have ever talked to somebody who is distraught, somebody who is on the very edge of committing suicide? And you know what you try to get them to understand? That there's hope. You know the most dangerous place a person can get in this life is when they're to a place in their life where they feel like there is no hope. If you've got some hope, you can go forward. If you've got a little bit of hope, you can go forward. But it becomes very dangerous when we get to a point in our life where we have no hope. And I want to tell you today, Christian, that because of this word hope, you can be assured that something is waiting on you on the other side. Listen to Acts chapter 2, verse 24 through 28. Whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it should not be possible that he should be holden of it. For David speak concerning him, for I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Boy, talk about a hope. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope. What a hope we have through the birth of Christ. What a hope we have through his Simeon saw of the salvation of God. He saw the Redeemer. He saw the Defender. And the hope that Simeon had that he could now depart in peace is the same hope today that you can have. Because listen, death could not hold him. The grave could not hold him. The devil tried. He thought he had done away with him. But bless God, all he done fulfilled Scripture. Nothing could hold down the Lord Jesus Christ. And because he couldn't hold him down, let me tell you some good news. He cannot hold you down. You have hope that one day after a while, you're going to spend eternity with a Savior. You're going to spend eternity with your loved ones that went on if they knew Jesus Christ. You're going to spend eternity with them. You're going to spend eternity with God. And for ages roll on, you're going to be in a perfect paradise. May I tell you that hope is there. We had a word for this in our Bible college too. Hope is the traction that keeps us from slipping from a place that we have never seen. We've never saw heaven, Terry. We've never saw it. Even the Bible tells us very little about heaven. It tells us way more about hell because it warns us not to go there. But listen, heaven, we cannot even comprehend how great that place is. But we have a hope that knowing that place is there, the Bible says, I've gone to prepare a place for you. If I went to prepare a place, then surely you will be with me. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it was not true, I would have told you it wasn't true. And because Jesus said that you've got a place there, my friend, today you have hope. You have hope. Never do I want one of us to say there's no hope. It's sure. Romans 8:24 says, for we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why does he yet hope for it? You see, what you're getting out of this whole thing this morning is that Simeon physically saw love. Simeon physically saw hope. He didn't have to have faith because he was right in front of him. Although he did have faith, believing that God was sending the Messiah who he told him he was. But listen, you and I today, these three things have been given to us that we may know this Christmas season, that we may know from here on forward, that we may know forever, because of these three things that God has blessed us with, we can be assured that we have a Savior. We can be assured that Savior has died for me. I can be assured that he has paid my sin sacrifice, and I can be assured that he's on the right hand of the Father making intercession for me. And may I tell you this, it's good news also. also. We'll be at around April or March, whatever it is. And Easter come around, we'll celebrate the resurrection. But may I tell you that even on Christmas Day, bless God, he's still alive. Hey man, he was born some 2,000 years ago, and I'm going to tell you he's not dead in 2019 or 18, whatever year it is. He's not going to be dead in 2020. There'll never come a time when the Lord Jesus Christ is not alive, and because he won't die, friend, you have hope. Hope. Whew. Our hope is sure. It's as sure as God himself. There's a lot of things I doubt today. But the Bible teaches me in Romans, chapter number 1, verse 19 and 20. I didn't have that down because I didn't know I was going to go in here. But it says we can see through creation of who God is. And all men can see through creation that we are without excuse. You can see the seasons he's blessed us with. You can see the things that God does for us. How everything falls in, how it's for our good. And it's for us today. And there's one thing that you ever blessed to go to Alaska. And some of these beautiful places we've been blessed to go. And one thing you'll have to realize that surely there is a creator. Now, there's no way that two big asteroids banged into one another and this thing came to be. My friend, I want to tell you there's a holy creator. And then the best God, there's a holy redeemer. I have hope. My hope is as sure as the God who created this universe. And I want you to think about this. Have you ever looked at a picture of space? Looked out onto the earth. The earth sits there, and it spins on absolutely nothing. You can't see a thing it's spinning on. But scientists say it's turning on its axis. And they say that if it was tilted just a few degrees that way, that we would freeze to death. If it was tilted a few degrees that way, we would burn up. And listen, he's got all this in there. He took care of every bit of it at creation. He tilted this thing the right way. He put the right amount of fossil fuels in here we would need. He put everything there that was going to need for how long he wants us here. He done everything. And as sure as he knows to do good about that, that's how sure my hope is. Nothing's ever taken him by surprise. Charles Spurgeon said this in that devotion I get every day. Of course, Charles Spurgeon actually, he had written it years ago. He's been dead for hundreds of years. But he said that that same God who provides the fuel for the sun. Do you think about that? The sun provides the fuel for it. Now, I've learned in school how hot that thing is. It's very hot. You don't want to touch it, I tell you that. And these scientists claim, oh, one of these days, that thing's going to run out of fuel. And listen, for as long as God wants it to, brother, it's not. It's going to be here as long as he wants it here. He provided everything it needs. He provided everything on this earth needs. And what helps me understand better than that, I can't understand much about the sun. I can't understand much about anything. I'm a pretty simple person. But what I can understand is a little old sparrow. He tells me to consider the sparrows. He says they don't do anything, yet I feed them. And he said, hey, if one of them falls, I know it. And he said, ain't even the hairs of your head numbered. Each hair on your head has got a number. Some of y'all make it easier on him than others. But each hair on your head has a number. When that thing falls out, there goes number so-and-so. There goes number so-and-so. That's how much he knows about you. That's how much he loves you and how much he cares for you. And my friend and my scraggly voice that barely can talk today, I want you to learn one thing this Christmas season. By faith, hope, and love, you can see the salvation of the Lord. You can see. I've talked to so many people, and you can ask them, do you know the Lord? You know what a lot of them will tell you? I hope so. This ain't the same kind of hope I'm talking about. They'll say, I hope I do. Is everything right between you and God? And they'll say, I hope so. I want to tell you this morning, my friend, you don't have to hope. You can know without a shadow of a doubt when you leave this place that you have the same peace that Simeon had. Simeon understood something when he saw Jesus. Now, we don't know how many years Simeon lived after this. It's always come to my mind that Simeon saw Jesus and boop, he died. But he didn't. Simeon lived on. We don't know how long. It's the scholars say he was probably a priest in the temple there. And Simeon kept doing what Simeon had always done. But now Simeon knew something. He had spent all the time ministering to those people in the temple and doing everything a priest should do. But now he had saw the Messiah. He had saw Jesus face to face. And with a shadow of a doubt, he knew he could die in peace. There's people in our churches that has worked tirelessly for years to make sure things was right in the church. They've worked to make sure the piano was played, that this was done, the bathrooms was clean, this was done, that was done. Now listen, we need them without a shadow of a doubt, and I appreciate you without a shadow of a doubt, and I love you. But what's more important than that? All of Simeon's work in the temple didn't matter until he saw that salvation through Jesus Christ. All of your work don't amount to anything. Yes, it's good. It's good to do things for people. It's good to do things for the church. It's good to do this. But my friend, don't you leave here this morning not seeing the salvation of God. The only thing that will save you is relationship with Jesus Christ. That baby come, was born, lived a perfect life, died a horrible death, on the third day resurrected, and today sitting on the right hand of the Father as an intercessor for me and you. I hear people say sometimes, I wonder what Jesus is doing today. Well, I can tell you what he's doing. He's making intercession. He's making intercession for me. For you, the Bible says we don't even know what to pray, that we pray in the Spirit, brings our groanings before him, and he presents them to the Father. He says, Father, this is what mine needs. How many times have you ever prayed and it seems like something happened that quick, and you think, wow, man, I might as well try this more often. Then how many times have you prayed and it seemed like months go by before you've seen that thing answered? That's that intercessor sitting there, knowing what's best for you, knowing what's best for you. If everyone would please stand. My prayer is today that as we depart out those doors to go celebrate the birth of a Savior, that you in your heart of hearts, inside your very being where no man can see, where nobody but you and God knows, you can walk out those doors of New Harmony Baptist Church departing in peace, knowing that now, if you get in your car and something runs over you out there and you leave this walks of life, you departed, you can know peace, knowing that you're going to enter the kingdom of heaven, that you're going to meet Jesus face to face, and that he has paid the penalty for your sin, and you have received that. It's my prayer today that you have that peace. If you don't have that peace, if you cannot depart in peace, you do not depart until you can depart in peace. We don't know when time's coming. We don't know when our last day is. You ask Keith, he deals with it every day. And Ben, they get calls all day long to go out. Some of those people kind of thought it was coming, but some of them woke up that morning, had plans for the future. Never get to see them out. That time is gone. Make sure today that you have seen the salvation of the Lord, where you too can depart in peace as we sing.